Welcome to Radio Mojo Plus, brought to you by Pyology Pizzeria and by Southern Glaciers Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry, plus Bobby Curran, here to bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii on a very exciting day. Do you know that it's the luckiest day of the year today, apparently? The luckiest day of 2020.
By what criteria is that?
Well, people who follow astrology, and there's a lot of people who do. It's not like just, you know, it's not like a woo-woo thing. So people who follow astrology will know that today, January 28th, is the luckiest day of the year. And funnily enough, there's one of these days every year in astrology charts, except in 2020 there wasn't one. Because the planets didn't align. I won't go into it because people will think it's nuts then. But there was a very specific reason. The planets didn't align in a certain way, and it didn't happen in 2020. Anyway, today's the one. So everyone should be having a lucky day. Although I have to say, mine hasn't started off so well.
You know what I think of astrology, right?
I do. That's why we're just moving along swiftly, because
right,
I know there's going to be no comment from you. But you'll be very happy today with our guest, because our first guest this morning is DK Kodama, who we have known for such a long time. And he is going to chat with us about, they're starting to reopen a couple of their restaurants, obviously not in Waikiki. But they have just done an incredible job of making it work. And I know for DK, who is, you know, the owner of not just a mom and pop restaurant, he's the owner of a huge group of restaurants across all islands. It's been such a difficult thing to do. So looking forward to talking to him. And then Chris Rumalb is going to join us today, because we're going to talk about, of course, what are people going to be drinking on Super Bowl Sunday. Now, for me, and I know for sports fans, this must be a huge thing, but surely this is going to be one of the most significant days where you realize things are just not the same.
Well, I do. I think you're right, because the people I'm talking to, almost everybody is planning on watching the Super Bowl at home. So the whole thing of being out and about and in a big place and crowded sports bar, that sort of seems out. Which is why, like the Pagoda, we're advertising a fabulous, but it's a pickup Sunday morning, Super Bowl Sunday, and bring it home type of thing. So it's not like they don't expect people are going to be eating and drinking and enjoying the game. It's just that they're much more likely to be doing it home.
And it has to be, that has to hit home for a lot of people, because many of the sports, as we've talked about since, you know, June or July when they came back, you kind of can watch it on TV and it looks okay, like basketball looks okay, and baseball is really okay, and golf is just perfect to follow. It really is no different. But the Super Bowl has always been that one day where parties and huge events and people traveling all over the country to go to wherever the game is. I think that is going to be so significant in bringing home to everybody that this time last year, I think this is what's significant. This time last year, we had no idea
what
was going to happen in 4 or 5 weeks' time. And it's a real marker, I think, in sports. And I just think it's just going to be incredible for a lot of people. So Chris is going to join us to talk about how you can make your day, you know, really great at home. And he's going to have some great recommendations for different beers and different wines. And, you know, places like Village Bottle Shop and Tasting Room with Tim Golden over there, they will have the most incredible beers. A lot of bars and restaurants have packages to go for Super Bowl, but it just definitely isn't going to be the same. I mean, if you're somebody who has hosted a Super Bowl party, you know, for years and years and years, you just can't, you know, have 100 people to your place or, you know, rent a big banquet room in a hotel anymore.
Right. Well, I've never had 100 people in any place I've ever been. We'd have to stack them.
Wherever you've lived. You
well, I'm saying that's what I mean. I'd have to stack them in the places I've lived to have 100 people. But I get your point, because I have put on some Super Bowl parties a couple of times. In fact, one of them was during the big blackout the Giants-Broncos game where you could only get it. The TV was gone. Oh, radio was your only option. It's crazy.
When was that? Like in the 1930s?
That was a while. There wasn't a Super Bowl in the 1930s, there, smart tail. But it was...
I didn't know about that. People must have been going crazy. Did it?
I want to say it might have been 86.
Okay.
I'm just thinking it might have been. But that might not have been. I'm trying to think. I think it was Giants Broncos.
And so, right, did the game start and then it blacked out, or they just
no? It happened during. It happened like I can't remember. Second quarter, maybe it was a huge blackout, and.
And it never came back.
The TV did come back, but way, way late.
Wow, that must have been, although probably not as big a deal as it would have been nowadays when the Super Bowl is. I mean, it's
it was a big deal then too. It's the biggest TV sporting event in the country by far. It's not even close.
Now, how do you have any intel on how it's affecting advertising? Is the advertising more or
well,
less?
A number of companies have completely bailed. So, and others, Budweiser, for example, is not doing any of those, like, incredible Budweiser things with the Clydesdales and the great story. But they are advertising on their seltzers and Bud Light. But all the money that they were going to put into, this is interesting, all the money they were going to put into the Budweiser commercials, they are instead giving that money to the vaccination rollout effort, which right. I thought, well, that's pretty cool.
That is really cool. I did read that, and I thought that was commendable because, I mean, of course, the money that was going into Super Bowl commercials was really getting to a point. It was a bit like tourism in Hawaii. You were seeing numbers that were so huge, 10.4 million people coming to Hawaii, and everybody in the back of their mind, like with Super Bowl commercials, you know, $2 million for 30 seconds, you were thinking, okay, at some point this has got to stop. So there you go. It did. We are looking forward to talking to our guests this morning, and we hope that we can help make your Super Bowl day just a little bit more special with lots of takeout options. As Bobby mentioned earlier, the Pagoda is doing a great takeout package, and tons of local restaurants are getting ready for both Super Bowl and for Valentine's Day, which is another holiday that this time last year everybody was happily cramming themselves into restaurants. And we were, as usual, recommending that you made a weekend of it rather than all rushing out on Valentine's night to overwhelm the restaurants and their staff, which we've talked about a lot before. But Valentine's Day pre-COVID was really, it's such a nightmare for wait staff, I think, in restaurants. And I suppose now they would give anything to have it back.
It's the second worst day in a in my opinion
to work in a restaurant.
Yeah, worst one without question,
Mother's Day,
no doubt. Mother's Day is a nightmare.
I know. I've never ever been out or wanted to go out on Mother's Day, so that's probably good. But yeah, these are, I think we're coming up to the first anniversaries of things that we are really going to relate to that show us that COVID has been around for a year. And it is creeping in, and we're going to market by things like these food and sports events because they're huge markers in our lives. I mean, you don't realize how much your seasons are marked by all of these things. And this year, we are definitely going to start looking back and going, wow, this time last year, we didn't know. Like this time, last Valentine's Day, no one had any idea. So we're going to talk to famed restaurateur DK Kodama in just a little bit. What we'll do right now, though, is we'll go for a short break. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. We're so happy that you're joining us this Thursday morning. And if you can't stay, don't worry. Everything is podcast. And by the end of this morning, you'll be able to get the podcast wherever you listen on whichever device. And if you want to know more about what we do and our work with restaurants, then please visit our website, mojomcgarry.com. We have spoken many times over well, over this entire radio show since it started with the DK Restaurant Group. Mostly we chat with Ivy Nagayama, who's the managing partner. And I have to say, really probably Bobby's favorite wine expert and probably favorite female restaurant person in Honolulu. She's so magnanimous and so great. But today we get to talk to the founder, the owner of the DK Restaurant Group, DK Kadama. Hey, DK, how are you?
Hey, DK.
Hey, how are you? Is it Bobby?
We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
And Joe.
We're
good. Oh, yes. That's a duo. All right.
We got the duo this morning. Hey, thanks for taking the time to join us, DK. I know that nowadays, you're busier than ever. Get regular guests down at Vino will know that you have been in and out of the kitchen ever since the pandemic began. I'm wondering, how is it? I mean, it's been such an incredible almost year now. Can you take a step back and sort of look and say, how is it? How is it going?
Well, I'll start off with, it was just an incredible, incredible experience this pandemic. I mean, I never would have thought this in my entire life. It's just, it's almost horrific. But anyway, we're trying to make the best of it. Okay, the PPP helped. We have a second round of PPP hopefully coming up. And but that definitely helped. But we try to make the best of it. Even if our sales are less than 50% of what they normally are, like restaurant role landlords, they are great. They're coming to the plate, helping us out with our rent. The guy A&B at Waikoloa, same thing. They're helping us with our rent. Let's see, in Kihei, they're helping us with our rent as well. So that really helps us to not lose as much money as we would have.
DK, I think for a lot of restaurants, you know, they're one-man operations, they're mom-and-pop operations, or even if they have one location, you know, they maybe have 35 staff or 50 staff. I think for you, this must have been devastating in the initial few weeks, because just give us an idea, just tell everybody listening, what is the scope of the restaurants? I mean, you have restaurants on every island, every one of them fully staffed. It must have been almost overwhelming to think, how are we going to cope with all of these people who suddenly don't have work?
Well, that's the hard part, okay, because we want to take care of as much staff as possible. So when we first opened up for to-goes, we had all the Waikiki chefs, the two executive chefs, the head sushi chef, and the general managers, and also Vino's executive chef, general manager. So we put them on the payroll, and that was a core group, along with myself and Ivy and Garrett, the corporate group. So I decided to kind of like, I need to take care of them first, okay? Then when we got a little busier, then we can reach out to some other staff. But our payroll was, as you can imagine, was really high because these are all high-paying people that mm-hmm. we had on our staff. I wish I could say we're full up to full staffing levels, but we're not. We're nowhere even close.
So it's same been thing interesting.
So same thing with Kihei and Kapalua, which we just recently opened at the end of the year, and we are getting ready to open Waikoloa in this month of February.
It's been interesting to see. I think you and the other local restaurateurs who are in Waikiki have almost like a secondary view of the pandemic and what it's caused. Local neighborhood restaurants in and around urban Honolulu have their resident population, they have their regulars, they have relied on regular people since they opened. You have all of that. You've got a very devoted clientele who just adore you and are very, very loyal to you. But you also had two restaurants in Waikiki and your restaurants in the other tourist zones around the neighborhood. Are you surprised at how slowly the recovery in Waikiki has been? Did you and the rest of your colleagues expect that by now we would be seeing way more tourists? Or was this pretty much what you planned for?
Well, Joe, you know, my whole stance from the beginning, okay, before opening the restaurant, was do we open the restaurant or do we stay healthy? Okay, so which would you take, health over business? And you know what? I always said we got to take care of ourselves first, ourselves, our staffs, our families, before we open the restaurant, before it's safe to open the restaurant. And when it's safe to open the restaurant, then we can open the restaurant and continue business as usual. So as far as opening people come in to the restaurant, you know, is it safe to do that? And when it's safe, then we can actually do it and, you know, operate as usual. But I'm not really surprised at the level of at the level of people coming back to the restaurants. We were shut down, completely boarded up in Waikiki, and they finally took those barricades down. Remember sometime. So they are still, from what we hear, at a very low occupancy rate. So it's kind of hard for us to open because we rely on the Marriott's guests.
Of course. On a positive note, what you did decide to do was keep Vino as your kind of ground zero. That's where you all went to work, and anybody who's coming in to get dine-in or take-out or delivery was able to find you in the kitchen, along with, as you say, your core group of chefs and managers like Ivy. That must have been for you almost like back to the beginning when you first started. I mean, you were right in the weeds. You were making the sushi. You were interacting one-on-one with everybody. A lot of people have found a sort of good side and a bad side to the pandemic. Would you say that was, well, what was that? Was that a good part of it for you being back where you started?
Well, you know, it was a good thing. You know, I'm back to, you know, where I first started. Also, I guess we were spending way too much on some other things that we shouldn't have. So we got down to just the basics of everything, almost. And I kind of call it like get to zero expenses, okay? Instead of paying for this, paying for that, we decided to do it ourselves and watch every nickel and dime that goes out, because this is a nickel and dime business. We have to watch every nickel and dime that we spend. And it's kind of like made me realize, God, like, wow, we spent that much on that? We spent that much on that? So we got to cut back. So, you know, and we have to train our staff to, you know, go to the zero expenses or lower expenses as much as possible. And so they've been really good about it, and they've been helping us out.
I would imagine it's been kind of a bonding experience as well, because as the founder of the DK Restaurant Group, your job wasn't to be in the kitchens every day. You had too many restaurants to do that. So I would imagine that in a way this has sort of been bonding and brought your group closer together. Would you say?
Oh, definitely bonding, but good or bad, I don't know, because I think they'd rather kick me out sometimes.
It's a bit like all of us having been stuck at home. We're like, well, there's good points and then there's bad points. It's the same
exactly,
kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
We're talking with DK Kodama. He is the founder and owner of the DK Restaurant Group. And, of course, you can find an amalgamation of DK's Steakhouse, Sansei, and Vino at Vino at Restaurant Row. They are open for dine-in. You can sit outside. They are open for takeout. And DK, when you first opened, there was so much excitement. People were so happy that you guys were opening and combining the menus and making it really easy for people to order online. Have you found that people let me put it this way. It seems to me that people are very grateful to be able to go out and still patronize their favorite restaurants.
you know, we've been very blessed and thankful for all the supporters that we do have. And we try to make the food the best as we can to take care of these, to take care of everyone. So we're very happy and very been supported by so many awesome people.
So. It's coming up for some major holidays. Bobby and I were just talking earlier on air that Super Bowl is coming up. Valentine's Day is coming up. These, of course, were days that were typically really busy for the food industry, and they're kind of markers of where we were last year. Are you guys gearing up to look at takeout in a different way? I mean, it's challenging, isn't it, to present a Valentine's dinner to go that will arrive at your house in a similar way to the way it would be at the restaurant. How are you coping with those challenges? Does it need a different menu approach?
Oh, definitely. We actually spent a long time deciding what kind of menu items we should have at the restaurant for dine-in and to go. So I think our menu is looking really good, and everyone agrees. So we'll see what happens, and hopefully people that order it, they enjoy it as well. As far as Super Bowl goes, that is going to be a fun time. I think hopefully people just order a lot of food to go. You know, maybe some sushi platters, maybe some family dinners for two, or just even just some of our food. Nice big ribeye steak. Oh my God.
They travel pretty well.
I
have to tell you, though, your food does actually travel well. When we've had takeout from the restaurant, the first time I ever brought it home and I laid it all out on the table, it was really funny to watch because Max, our eldest son, was saying to Finn, this is exactly the restaurant experience you get at DK's. And I really got what he meant because your flavors are so unique. And, for example, let's just talk about one of your most favorite dishes, the truffle ramen. That dish you can take anywhere and it instantly speaks of you and your flavors. Is that one of your most popular dishes of all time?
That's one of our most popular dishes, yes. And yeah, we do the noodles, you know, and we put the broth on the side, and when you get home just put it in. And you know, for me it's just a comfort dish.
Yes.
And it's got a lot of flavor, so it really brings me back to when I first came up with that.
Tell us about that. I love that story. But, you know, there may be some people listening who have never tried your incredible truffle ramen. Tell us the story about how you came up with that and first put it on the menu all those years ago.
Okay. Well, when we first opened up in Restaurant Row, Sansei, and, you know, we don't like to eat when we work, okay? So I go home, and we're living up in Pacific Heights, and, you know, I said, honey, what's for dinner, you know, after I got home? And she goes, I don't know. And so I look in, and of course, she had the Sapporo ramen. So I ate that, and, you know, it was okay. But I decided, you know, wow, maybe I can add some fresh herbs to that. So I went to our garden, you know, got some Thai basil, which we always have, and cilantro and green onions, and put it in there. And kind of like a pho, you know, put those herbs in there. I said, wow, this is better. And then I remembered somewhere someone had truffle butter, and I wanted to get some kind of fat in there to make it, to keep it hot, because after a while you start eating noodles, it gets cold. So I put the truffle butter in there. This was the night after that. And I go, wow, this tastes pretty good. So after that, I said, wow, let's try this at the restaurant. And then we put some, we couldn't put chicken, we couldn't put beef, you know, so the best thing was some kind of shellfish. And king crab was, you know, just perfect with that. So that's how it came about.
That's how the dish was born, and it really has. It stayed on the menu. It's an absolute staple. It is one of those dishes that you couldn't take off, right? It'd be an outcry if you didn't serve that.
I think so, but well, it's
wonderful.
A really good dish.
And it's, you're right, it's such a comfort dish. It's such comfort food. You know, that makes me think, now I'm going way off on a tangent, but I think people will love to hear you talk about this. You had one of the world's great moms. Everybody who ever came to the restaurant was very familiar with your mom, Sandy. I used to love when she would tell me about the things she used to make you as children to eat. And I think it's clear that your sensibility about local food and mixing really good flavors and working with what you have came from your mom. But do you remember, I know what she told me that she used to make, and I used to be just think that's fantastic. But what are some of the things that you remember eating as a child that were so simple but so comforting?
Well, the thing I think I learned about from my mom was variety, because she would experiment and try all these different dishes from Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Indian, I mean, all kinds of local food. And that's what I liked about it, was variety. You know, I can't eat a hamburger, you know, every night of the week. Mm-hmm. I get bored with that, so I'd have to have something else. But I would say, I don't know, there's so many dishes that she made, I couldn't say which was my favorite.
Is there anything still on the menu that kind of reminds you of her? Is there anything that, any dish that you can look to and say that was definitely mom inspired?
No.
Well, maybe no. That's something you should add in your new incarnation as you guys all start to develop. We are chatting.
That's a good idea.
We're chatting with DK Kodama. He is the owner of the DK Restaurant Group, and you can find him and his hardworking crew at Vino at Restaurant Row. They are open for, are you open lunch and dinner or just dinner still?
No, just dinner. Just dinner. Very abbreviated hours, like from 5 to 8.
And
what we do is a lot of to-go's.
A lot of takeout, a lot of to-go, but we will encourage you to go and dine in too, because there's outdoor seating and there's seating indoors. It's a wonderful atmosphere that hasn't changed. There's a combined menu of DK Steakhouse, Vino, and Sanse, which means that you can order really it's a limited menu from each restaurant, but it's a wide variety of everything from steaks to sushi to pasta, and it all works together really, really well. DK, I know you are really busy, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and chat with us today. And as always, it's just a pleasure to speak to you. Continued success, and thank you so much for continuing to open your restaurants and feed all of us and just be there.
Oh, thank you, Joe. I think you did a great commentary, and thank you very much for that. And also thank you, Bobby, as well. So hope to see you guys soon.
You will. Take care. DK Kodama, who is of course, one of the most humble local chefs. He's built up really a phenomenal restaurant group across the islands. And as he's not one to complain, right? DK is not going to come on air and talk about how difficult things have been. But you can only imagine what it's like to have restaurants in the hot spots of tourism on Maui and in Waikiki, and to have to deal with everything that's come along with that. They are really, truly doing a fantastic job at Vino, and I hope you go and encourage them and take out. Go and take out for Super Bowl Sunday. So coming up, Chris Romelb is going to join us. Chris is from Southern Glazers Wines and Spirits. He is just an absolutely passionate wine lover, and he's also fond of the occasional beer, and of course he's a big sports lover too. So we'll have a conversation with him about what should we be drinking on Super Bowl Sunday. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
This is Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu.
Hey, Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. I'm Jo McGarry. We do every Thursday. We bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii with a little bit of sports thrown in. Of course, one of the biggest, well, the biggest sporting events of the year is upon us. It's just less than 2 weeks away. And someone who is really passionate about sports and really passionate about the drinks that we may choose to go with them is Chris Rommel of Southern Glazer's Wines and Spirits. He's joining us this morning. Hiya, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I was just saying to Bobby right at the beginning of the show, I feel like we're coming up to anniversaries already. It's like the sporting events are showing us, okay, this time last year at Super Bowl, we didn't know what was going to happen. You know, it's like, I don't know, for some reason it's sort of it's a reminder that this time last year, everything was the same. Do you kind of feel that a little bit about the Super Bowl is just a big, big day that's going to be so different from anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm so happy. As you know, I love sports. Like, on days like the Super Bowl, I get kind of sad because literally every Sunday from 7 a.m. to whenever the Sunday night game ends, it's on Red Zone, the TV. Like, I get sad because it's the culmination of a season, and I know that I'm not going to have football for a long time. So, I'm, you know, hats off to the NFL and all these organizations for actually making these sporting events happen safely. Like, I feel like we're sort of returning to a sense of normalcy here, and, you know, that's so great. I'm excited.
It is definitely a sense of normalcy for a lot of people. We're getting used to it on the sports level, and certainly it's so much better than not having sports. But Super Bowl is Super Bowl, and it's always a time for food and wine and great beers, and I don't imagine that's going to change this year. In fact, I suspect that people will be making better and higher choices about what they're going to be having at home just to make that day seem a little more special, because we can't be at big parties and we can't be traveling to actually go to the game. Do you sense that? Do you sense from when you're being out and about that people are really looking forward to doing something special at home?
Yeah. I mean, I think even when I do go out, you know, because I work the market a lot, I'm out at different restaurants and everything, I think people are tired. They're just fatigued of the COVID thing. And while we're treating it with respect as far as not gathering and really doing our due diligence to separate ourselves, like, we're in the mood to spend. And some of us are spending money we don't have, which is I don't condone either, but people are tired of it, and they're ready to party. They're ready to get out, to start being normal. You know, I really do feel like, even though the sales don't suggest it, as far as looking at chain data in the stores, I feel like people are going to start trending up again.
Yeah, I think so too. In retail, they call that pent-up demand, you know. It's like
people are tired of it.
Yeah, you're tired of it and you want to go out and spend. And it's the same with sports. Like, I mean, how great would it be to just go to a sporting event again in person and be there live? What did you used to do? What was a typical Super Bowl Sunday for you, Chris?
Well, so, you know, I love Hawaii. Born and raised on Kauai. And I, you know, happy to report, I actually bought my girlfriend and I bought our first condo. So put down roots here. And I will, yeah, we're stoked. I will always be here. I love Hawaii. It's my home. The one thing I hate about Hawaii is that it's East Coast bias, right? So I have to take off of work, or I have to plan meetings around NBA time. That's why whenever it's like a 2 o'clock tip, when there's a great game on, like, I try to schedule my meetings at a bar with clients just so I can peek over the TV and watch the game. And that's like no exception for Super Bowl, right? Like, the biggest sporting event of the year, and kickoff is 1:30. So, like, what does that mean? Well, that means, like, I'm not going to start at 1, right? Like we're cooking breakfast. We're treating it like it's Christmas morning and Thanksgiving all rolled into one. Like, it's mega at my house. And even though we might not have a lot of people over this year, like, we're still going to, like, you know, make the breakfast full-on spread, try to get down to a grill, try to get down to outdoors somewhere, and then have everything ready for the game.
I love that. You know, I think anybody who is looking for like a perfect employee should listen to how you respond about your job, because you are the most enthusiastic and honest person about how you will spend your time. And I think Southern Wines and Spirits are really lucky to have you, because you just are so open and honest, and your enthusiasm is just really catching and fetching.
What can I
Bobby
say?
And I
love booze.
There you go. Perfect.
But you're good at it. Bobby, his enthusiasm about the food is reminding me of when the boys were really little and they were just old enough to sort of hold plates, and I sort of said, okay, you will be allowed to eat food in front of the television. And it was for weeks. Do you remember? They were so excited that they were allowed to eat food watching television. It was like almost as big as the Super Bowl.
Right. And they got to be experts on what kind of food they wanted, which I will say Joe does an unbelievable job on snack foods for Super Bowl Sunday. So.
Yeah, they did, but I always remember that. Okay, so you're starting, so you're doing breakfast. Okay, well, that's always an interesting pairing for breakfast. So for people who are firing up the grill early on Super Bowl Sunday morning and they're also doing breakfast, what do you think? What's a good thing? Because you want to start your day off slowly and calmly, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think, well, this is the day for quantity drinking, for sure. But the disclaimer here is, like, it's especially on memorable days or like, say, let's say special occasions, and the Super Bowl is absolutely a special occasion. Like, the disclaimer here is drink what you like, whenever you want, right? Or I should say maybe in unmemorable days, because, you know, the morning after Super Bowl should be a national holiday. But it's a quantity drinking day. So drink what you like. I am absolutely going to put down a couple of unnamed cheap beers that I can't talk about because it's going to ruin my credibility. But I'm also going to start with some good things. I'm going to drink a lot, so I'm going to skew towards things that aren't necessarily expensive but taste really good. So, for instance, for breakfast, instead of champagne at the table, because, you know, every day is a celebration, I choose to serve, like, a champagne-like things. Now, everybody knows that sparkling wine is amazing with breakfast. It works well with eggs. It works well with potatoes, anything with starch. But Prosecco is not necessarily a thing. So Prosecco and champagne are made in two different ways. So they taste, if you were to taste them side by side, totally dissimilar. So I want champagne at unchampagne prices. I'm looking for Lambert de Sisal, which we just got in. The grapes are grapes that probably nobody knows. It's Altesse and Molette, grown in the Savoie region of France. And because of its unknown status, they can't really command a high price. So you could find this for under $20, made in the champagne style, which is absolutely great for breakfast, but not the champagne prices.
Now, that's a very important distinction, isn't it? You should look for the indication that it's made in the style champenoise or in the style of champagne, because it basically means, as you just said, that it's made in the same way. It just isn't allowed to call itself champagne because it's not from the right region.
Absolutely. All champagne is sparkling wine, but not all sparkling wine is champagne.
Yeah, and you know, that's is really a simple rule, but it's one that I think a lot of people don't get, and then they're very disappointed when they buy, like, the thing that I really dislike the very most drinking are cheap sparkling fizzy wines that people actually sort of think are champagne, and nothing can be further from the truth. So look for these ones. There's just beautiful. Give us this name again, because I think a lot of people didn't catch that.
Lambert. I'm butchering it, by the way. Lambert de Sisal.
Okay,
yeah, and it's
great.
So look for things on the label that says, like, either method champenoise or method traditionnel, and that will tell you that it's made in the champagne method. And it's interesting, and it's important because it takes time. You know, Prosecco takes a very quick amount, and I love Prosecco too. It definitely has its place at the table, but this particular wine is aged for 10 months, which is, you know, as close to the minimum requirements for champagne as possible.
Okay,
it takes time.
Sounds good. And just so everyone knows, as always, we will always have all these links to everything that Chris talks about will be on our podcast, and you can find that at RadioMojoHawaii.com. Okay, so what's next? What about for the big day, the big game. People are grilling. There's lots of barbecue going on. There's lots of snacking foods like wings and sticky sauces and all kinds of things. What are some, I mean, obviously, you know, beer is king on Super Bowl Sunday. But what are some of the other things that you recommend that people might stock up on for the weekend?
Besides beer? Or
including beer.
Including.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So a couple of overlooked things, especially because we're all into the support local movement now. Big Island Brewhouse is something that I talk about all the time, but they really are some people that we should support. Family-owned. They're Overboard IPA for these IPA lovers out there. It won gold medal twice at the U.S. Open Beer Championships, which is not, you know, a shiny little participation award that they give to people. It's the number one beer in an oversaturated category. So Big Island Brewhouse, Overboard IPA. They also do a beer called Graham's Pilsner, which is not a style people drink nowadays. Everybody's looking for flavored stuff and all these kind of things, but it's just beer-flavored beer, and it's an elevated level of the stuff that we're used to drinking. It's a picture. The label's a picture of literally Graham on a lawnmower, if that tells you like when and where you're supposed to be drinking that kind of beer. as far as food goes on the grill, I think I talked about this as well, but Botex, Bouge Cerdon, I know lovers of the show went to Fujioka's and absolutely bought it out. Thank you for that. It's one of my favorite wines. But we got a bunch more in, and this pink sparkling semi-sweet rosé, anytime before kickoff, while you're grilling, it's the perfect complement to sausages, to buffalo wings, even to poke. Like, there's no doubting that poke and beer is literally the best pairing of all time. I can't drink wine with poke. It's against my rules. But Botex Bouge Cerdon works perfectly with all of those sticky, sweet, salty things.
That is the most gorgeous drink. I remember when we were having this conversation in November and we were talking about that and Sancerre, and oh my gosh, you were so right. I mean, just beautiful, delightful. I was giving it to everyone for Christmas. It just, I mean, everything about that is just gorgeous.
Well, we wrote to them saying, hey, we sold out. Can we please get more? And they make, you know, 3,000 cases a year. And New York and San Francisco snatches it all up. But we got more. So reinforcements are in the perfect time. For sure.
Perfect, perfect. And these, of course, are available not everywhere, right? So we want to direct people to the right places. I know they always have them at Fujioka's, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's
Where else?
Probably. And
Tomorrow's, okay.
Our fields as well, I know, is a lover of these wines. But really quickly, I know we're probably running out of time, but people like Reds, and you're right about not having time necessarily to go to a fine wine shop. So I'd like to give a special mention to Decoy, which is a subsidiary of Duckhorn Winery. I just tasted their Reds from Sonoma County. Those are wines that you can find all over the supermarket, Foodland, Safeway, wherever you choose to shop. And then La Crema Pinot Noir, a lighter red that, you don't want big reds during daytime. I just tasted it recently, and for under $20, it's a steal, and it's pretty much everywhere. So pick those up on your next grocery run.
Decoy, I'm a big fan of Dan Duckhorn's wines. I remember way back when Pinot Noir first started to become a big thing, listening to him talking, and it was just a pleasure to have those kind of old winemakers who really had been doing it forever out of the limelight, and then all of a sudden they became a really big deal. So good recommendations as always. Chris, we'll put all of these up on our website so people can find them and go and get them and stock up on them. And sometimes it's good to call the wine stores just to make sure they have them in, but we'll be rest assured that Chris is doing a fantastic job and they'll be in the stores. We hope you have a fantastic Super Bowl Sunday. I know that you're stocked up well. Bobby has a
Chris, question. Who do you have in the game?
I knew I was going to get asked that. And you know what? I'm going to give away a free pick today because I always lose. So just bet against me. I got the Chiefs.
You got the Chiefs. So you're saying to people, go ahead and bet Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's a guaranteed win. If I pick a team, then the other team wins for sure.
That's great stuff. All right, thanks, Chris.
Chris,
take
it's
care,
always
Bobby.
A
take
pleasure.
Take care, Joe.
You too. We'll talk to you soon. Chris Rommel, our resident sommelier. He is, of course, with Southern Glazer's Wines and Spirits. I just think, you know, his honesty, his enthusiasm is so refreshing. Because of how honest he is about everything, I trust, and I would trust, everything he tells me about wine. And
well, I think you can know this. Whatever he tells you is what he believes is the truth.
Absolutely. And he has the training to stand beside it. We're going to go and take a really short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry. We do this every Thursday, me and Bobby Curran. So I'm the eating, drinking, and living part, and Bobby is the plus football, which I suppose could be really all of it, eating, drinking, and living, and the sports part. But it is kind of, is it an exciting Super Bowl or not really?
Well, actually, I do think this has got the potential to be a really good one, yeah? I actually think it's going to be a closer game than many people think.
Okay.
There are a lot of people like Chris who think that Kansas City is just way too much, but I actually believe that first of all, Tampa Bay can score and they got a couple of playmakers on defense. Remember these names, everybody. Shaquille Barrett, Devin White. Those guys are going to cause problems for Kansas City. Because they are fast, and they are not going to let Patrick Mahomes just run all over the place, as most people can't stop him. But those linebackers are really quick. It's going to cause – I mean, I think that Tampa Bay will be able to score, but I also think that Kansas City will be not as fluid as they sometimes are because of their defense. So it'll be a good game.
Interesting. Well, that's what you want, isn't it?
I still think, if you push game to shove, we'll take Kansas City, but I think it could be, it won't shock me if Tampa Bay wins that game.
So you kind of want that, right? Because you want the day to be an event. You want it to be an occasion.
I want it to be a really good game.
Yeah.
I want it to be something we want to talk about for weeks. That's what you hope for.
I remember, you'll know which one it was, but there was in recent years a Super Bowl that was just like, so disappointing. It was almost over before halftime and everyone was like,
I hate to say it,
no.
But that's been the case for a lot of them.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
I'm usually in the kitchen, as you know, so yeah, I'm right. Just running back and forward with food.
But I think that what happens then is, especially at our house, everybody goes, well, let's concentrate on the food then. What's next?
Well, I always do that just in case it's an awful game and then people still have things to look forward to. But it is going to be an interesting year. But there you go. So Chris Rommel with some really great recommendations. And I love the fact that he's just so encouraging of us supporting breweries like Big Island Brew House. Do you know how incredible that is for them to have taken two gold medals with an IPA? I mean, that's a beer that is just made over and over and over again. I mean, everybody makes an IPA. It's like
that's Indian Pale Ale. That's,
yes. Yeah. If you're going to start making beer, that's what you start with, pretty much. I mean, it's what everybody does.
It's
what everybody
starter
does.
Beer.
But for a Hawaii brewery to win that, I think we'll get them on the show and talk to them next week. That would be so fun. Just to see how they're doing.
That is amazing. That's an amazing achievement.
It really is an amazing achievement. I think sometimes we don't celebrate our breweries as much as we should, because while we know the beers are fantastic, it's still a relatively new industry. You know, it was
here,
only,
sure.
Yes,
yeah, no question.
It was only just starting when I first arrived in the islands, when we first started writing about beer, and now it's really taken off, and it really has earned its place amongst the best in the entire world. And just like wines did from California all those years ago, it's the same kind of thing. So Chris's recommendations, and I know it's very hard to get them live from the radio as we're talking about them, but we will have all of them up on our website. If you go to where we have our podcasts at radiomojohawaii.com, you can just easily link to them, read more about them, and find out where you can get them. And the wines he was talking about this morning as well, really great. We'll have lists of where you can find them. So radiomojo.com is where we have all of our podcasts. And we are grateful, too, to DK Kodama for coming on and chatting with us this morning, because, you know, DK is definitely one of, there's many restaurateurs in Hawaii just like DK. They will not talk about how difficult things are. They won't complain. But he is in there cooking and making sushi and right in the weeds making sure that his restaurants stay afloat and come back. And, you know, I just think it's so admirable, and it's wonderful to be able to support all of these local restaurants. And do people ask you for Super Bowl predictions, or do you not give them
sometimes
out?
No, sometimes they'll. I mean, I very quickly tell people I do not bet on these things myself.
Oh, we know that.
I'll be in a pool or something if someone's got a pool, but I'm not just taking points or laying points and putting up hard-earned money.
Awesome. Well, we'll look forward to it. Thank you to our guests this morning. Thanks to you, Bobby. I'm Joe McGarry. I'll see you next time on Radio Mojo Plus.